Now, if you join me in your Bibles or up on the screen, we have this morning's scripture reading.
Oh, Pete, do you want both? Pete, do you want both?
Great. Okay, we're reading from John 14, 14 through 17 and 25 to 27, and then Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Ephesians 5. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Please pray with me. Jesus, we love you this morning, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time of worship, and we thank you for Brian. Please give him wisdom, and Holy Spirit, please fill him to have him remember everything that you've taught him this week, and please soften our hearts and make us receptive to the truth that you have for us. Jesus, we love you and pray these things in your name. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Before we begin this morning, I just want to give a quick update on our little Sunday school classroom for moms and little ones over there. I want to say thank you to Blake and Carter Baldwin, who put in our floor. And that's all complete. So we're chipping away. Feel free to have a walking tour. You can do it all in about 4 seconds. But we probably have, I don't know, about 20 people or so from church that have volunteered to work on that. So thank you so much for everyone that's been able to chip in. I know more people are volunteering to help with the painting, which would be great, and a little bit more of some landscaping type things. So thank you for that. This morning we are finishing our short 3-week series, and the theme of this series has been what you do every day matters more than what you do once in a while. That we want to give priority to who we are on the inside, and that giving attention to who you are on the inside every day is important. Not just once in a while, not just when there's a crisis only or just emergency situations, but that every day. And we would say that we apply that same principle to other parts of our lives. We like to take care of our health, of our bodies, what we eat, exercise. We try to do that every day. But I'm saying that even more important than that is your spiritual life, that who you are on the inside. And this will be the last time I reference this quote, but I want to reference it one more time. And I think Russell will have it, but I'll read it to you as well. And this is from a couple weeks ago. If we give priority to the outer life, our inner life will be dark and scary. And that is the natural way we live, that we give attention to our outer life as a priority. Our inner life will be dark and scary. We will not know what to do with solitude. We will be deeply uncomfortable with self-examination, and we will have an increasingly short attention span for any kind of reflection. It's the culture we live in. Even more seriously, our lives will lack integrity. Outwardly, we will need to project confidence, spiritual and emotional health and wholeness, while inwardly we may be filled with self-doubts, anxieties, self-pity, and old grudges. Yet we won't know how to go into the inner rooms of our heart, of the heart, see clearly what is there and deal with it. In short, unless we put a priority on the inner life, we will turn ourselves into hypocrites. And so the last 3 Sundays, we've said we want to just be honest about that and give a priority, give attentiveness to who we are on the inside, and have that be a part of our regular life. we began 2 weeks ago with giving attention to prayer. And last week we talked specifically about our devotion and love for Christ. And this morning we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the role the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. We're going to draw our attention to John chapter 14 and then one of Paul's letters to a church community. So this morning we will start John chapter 14 as Joel read. And the context of John chapter 14 is that this is the last night that Jesus will have with his disciples before he is crucified. And there is some nervousness, there is some anxiety with the disciples, and we can think of it this way, that, and this happens in our lives, that we have a trajectory for life that we think is going, that our life is going to go. And then something happens, whether it's a health change, whether it's a relationship that changed. We call these things life quakes, where we have a major pivot in life. And so the disciples have spent the last few years following Christ. They've been devoted followers. And now Christ is informing them that he's leaving, that he's going away. And this whole passage here is this, is about this idea of don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. And he's going to promise the Holy Spirit to help us. One of the things that we know that is a part of our lives is that our hearts are often troubled, that we do put an emphasis on the outward appearance of being confident and emotionally healthy and spiritually healthy, but on the inside, there are troubles. There are times when our souls are not at rest. And so this is the context, and Jesus is going to promise them and show them that there is a way to live the Christian life, a way to do life in a way that leads to health and to wholeness. And so let's begin, and the notes there are on your bulletin. Let's begin with this idea. Number one, that God the Father promises to give you the Holy Spirit to be your advocate. So let's explore that for a few minutes, and we will just look at a couple verses here in the Gospel of John and then to Ephesians. So John chapter 14, verse 16 says this, "And I will ask the Father," this is Jesus speaking, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Depending on your translation, you might have the word comforter, you might have the word advocate. The word here for the Holy Spirit is the word parakaleo. And it's a difficult word for people to translate. And that's why we have different translations. What's interesting, though, about this passage is the word another. So Jesus is saying this, that I will give you another helper. And the word another is significant, too, to help us understand what Jesus is saying. And the significance is found when we dig a little bit behind this word another. And in the Greek, there are two words for the word another. One word is the word allos, which means another of the same kind. The other Greek word is heteros, which is another of a different kind. So if we can use the example of an apple, I love Fuji apples. That's one apple. And another apple would be a Granny Smith. We'll go with Granny Smith. And then another would be the Fuji. And so I pass out apples to you all, and we all have apples. Some of you have an apple that's allos. It's exactly the same as mine. Exactly. It's an apple, and it's a Fuji. Some of you have another apple. It's an apple, but it's not exactly the same. It's a Granny Smith or whatever your favorite apple is. And what's interesting about this is that the word that Jesus uses here is the word allos. And Jesus is saying this, that I am going to give you another helper that's just like me, that there's someone coming, there is a person coming, the Holy Spirit is coming, that is identical to me, just like Christ in every way. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is there to help, to comfort. Whatever word is most meaningful to you, but one of the most rich words is the word advocate. And Jesus is saying that from the Father, from God the Father, there will be another advocate. The word paraclete or parakaleo is the word here for Holy Spirit, and the word can easily be broken up into two. Para, which means to come alongside, kaleo is to call. And so Jesus is saying this, that there is one that is coming. That is not coming to push you in the back from behind and saying, get going, figure out the Christian life, figure out life, pushing you in the back. There's not somebody that's in front of you screaming, you're going too slow. There's somebody coming right alongside you to do life with you. And what we have to understand is that the disciples are in this place of life of uncertainty. And that's where many of you are this morning, a place of uncertainty. You're unsure of what the future holds. You're unsure about this relationship. You're unsure about your health. You're unsure about your future. And Jesus is saying this, that there is one that's coming that promises to come right alongside you, to be your advocate, to speak on your behalf, to do life alongside you. The Latin word for paraclete is the word advocare. And that's an interesting word as well. Ad means to come alongside. Vocare means to speak. We get the word vocal from it. So an advocate is this. An advocate is someone who comes alongside you and fearlessly speaks truth to your life. Jesus is saying this, that there is one who is coming that promises to do life with you, that comes alongside you. And Jesus goes on and says this, that the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. Regardless of the circumstances of your life, Jesus promises that you will never do life alone. In the ups and downs, the tragedies of life, you will always have somebody with you. A lawyer can function as an advocate. A lawyer would come and stand beside their client to be there as someone to share the experience, who would speak on behalf. I read this week someone that described it this way. An advocate is someone who takes a powerless person who deals with the powers that be on their behalf. Think about in life when we feel like we don't have the power to live life, to follow Christ, to do life the way we think is true to what it means to follow Christ. Jesus says this, that there is someone who's coming alongside you to help you do life. Jesus goes on and says this at the end of verse 17, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That there is this intimacy with the true followers of Christ and the Holy Spirit. So number one, we learn that if we want to live life in an authentic way, if we want to deal honestly with things inside of our lives, that we never do that alone, that the Holy Spirit is always there with us. The second part of this that's meaningful is found in verse 26, when Jesus says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus is saying this, that the Holy Spirit promises to teach you what it means to follow him, to follow Christ. That there is a role that the Holy Spirit will speak through God's word and to help us by teaching us, helping us recall how to live out our lives. The work of the Holy Spirit is to teach and to remind. Why? Because as he says in chapter 16, a few chapters later, that it is very easy for the followers of Christ to fall away, to turn aside, that we are more vulnerable than we think, and so that we have to keep growing, that we need the Holy Spirit to help us to grow in understanding and truth. The context of these last couple chapters here that we're looking at, John chapter 14, 15, 16, Jesus is in a room with his disciples, and they are sharing their last meal together. They are doing their last moment together of prayer and teaching. And Jesus knows that he is on his way to the cross, and he's preparing his disciples for life without him. As we move forward a short distance into the book of Acts, and the church is born and the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles and the birthing of the church, we see something change. We see something change in the life of the disciples. And that is fully expressed and fully seen in the Apostle Paul when he begins writing letters to different churches to help them understand what it means to live out the Christian life. And so if you have your Bibles, just invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 to help us understand what this actually looks like in life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says this: "Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." So Paul is saying, be thoughtful about how you live your life, the choices you make, and the decisions to which things you want to engage in and be a part of. "Make the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And then he's going to bring up the Spirit. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." This is a well-known passage if you've been around church for a while, and if you haven't, this is a command that Paul gives when he says to be filled with the Spirit, that our lives are to be continually filled with the Spirit, that there is to be an identified trait in your life that is marked by filling. What is noticed here, and that's significant, is that Paul gives a detailed explanation of what that actually looks like. So if we understand this, Christ promises his followers that the Holy Spirit is a part of our lives, as our advocate to speak on our behalf, to come alongside us, that the Holy Spirit promises to teach you how to live through his word. And now the Apostle Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit is to be such a part of your life to a degree that your life is filled with him. Well, what in the world does that look like? It goes from an abstract to very specific things. And here's what he says. And these are all participles of the command. And Paul says this: be filled with the Spirit. And then he says this: addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melodies to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I've read that many, many times. And I honestly, as I was reading that and thinking through it this week, it's probably one of the harder things for us to make a connection with in real life. All right? So here's what Paul is saying: that speaking is a part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing is a part of being filled with the Spirit. Thankfulness is a part of being filled with the Spirit. And submission is part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does this exactly mean for our lives? Does that mean that when we come to church this morning, that you greet somebody and you break out in "By Grace Alone" or "By Faith Alone" or your favorite hymn and start singing to each other? It'd be a little bit on the odd side. Some of you could pull it off better than others. So let's think about this for a second. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another. So speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what he says, to be filled with the Spirit. And here's a way for us to understand that. And that's as we ask the question, what do you think in Paul's mind, what was going on in Paul's mind when he said this? Most likely he was speaking about the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms is poetry, just well-written poetry about life, about what it means to worship God, about understanding that God is a part of our lives. And so here's one way to help you understand this, that living out the Christian life, that being filled with the Spirit means that your conversation, that a regular part of our conversation has to do with letting people into your life and how God is working in your life. That you're speaking to other people truth of God's word. That you're speaking the poetry, the beautiful words of the book of Psalms. And the question is, are the Psalms a part of our lives? Let me give you a great place to start. Psalms chapter 1 gives the picture of a blessed life. And it's a picture of a tree, a fruit tree, whose roots are going down into living water. And it says the tree won't wither, that your life will bear fruit, that it will be a beautiful life. And so Paul is saying this, that a spirit-filled life is filled with psalms, with understanding of life, and you're wanting and willing to talk about it with other people. Let's be honest for a second. The moment you begin a conversation with another human being, and it's in private, ask yourself, how long does it take before it goes negative or towards gossip? We're natural at it. There's no class needed that when you begin talking to another human being, that you begin going critical, that you begin going negative, that you begin finding faults in people. Do you know why I know this? I just look at my own life. I have to fight about being negative and critical of other people. That human beings, we naturally do that. And it's the antithesis of being filled with the Spirit, of just noticing other people's problems, other people's struggles, and saying, if I was that person's, if I was that parent in this family, I would do things so differently, or this, or just being critical. If I was married, right? We just do that. We can be critics. And it's the antithesis of a Spirit-filled life. So this is very simple. Be very careful, be thoughtful about the words you speak. Fill your heart, fill your mind with the Psalms. There's beautiful poetry in the Bible. Allow that to shape your life. Number two is singing. Singing from your heart. There is, I'll say this, that one of the most impactful things, one of the most life-changing things that you can do is to sing from your heart with other believers about the beauty and glory of Jesus Christ. And there will be moments, this has happened in my life, and I've had people tell this to me in our own church, where for some reason you just start getting emotional and tears start filling your eyes. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit speaking truth to you. Regardless of your singing abilities, sing with joy from your heart. A life filled with the Spirit is a life that rejoices. He goes on, verse 20, and he says this, giving thanks always for everything. A part of the Christian life is thankfulness and joy. And I know that when I first read this, there's kind of a couple things that just jump out that probably are obvious to us all, and that is giving thanks always for everything. Like, that just doesn't make sense. Always for everything. But I think the most catching phrase, most catching word here is the word or the phrase, to God the Father. And here's what I mean. There are so many circumstances that happen to you in your life that you have no control over. You have no control over if you get diagnosed with cancer. You have no control if your parents get divorced. You have no control over so many things of life. But what you can do is that when you understand who God is, when you understand that He is your loving Father, when you understand that He is perfectly in control, you can give thanks regardless of the circumstances of your life. Make the connection with John chapter 14. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, He will fill our lives. He will never leave you. Regardless of the circumstances of your life, we can give thanks because God is your Father and He loves you and He promises to take care of you. There will be many things in your life that you will not understand. There will be many things in your life that you do not fully understand, and you have to learn to give thanks even when you don't understand, even when things don't make sense, even when things are hard and things hurt your heart and you don't understand why God is allowing you to go through this. You can give thanks because you understand who God is, that He's your loving Heavenly Father. This is possible. I think one of the things that often happens is that we have assumptions about people. And sometimes one of the assumptions that can happen, and those of you that know me well don't have this assumption about me, but if you don't know me from a distance, that you can have the assumption that pastors had a great childhood, have life, just sweet marriages, sweet kids all the time, and have life all figured out. It's just not true. It's just not true. And I'm not going to give you the time right now to talk about my own personal life story, but I'm saying that everyone here has experienced hard things in life. Nobody has life easy all the time and all the way figured out. But what I can say is that there's so much of life that I just don't understand, that doesn't make sense to me. But I can give thanks because I know that God is my Father and He loves me, He loves you, and He's in control. Next, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is about as crazy as anything in the Bible. Like, submitting to each other, that means, wait, like, I don't get to do what I want, I have to do what you want? Think about how hard this is. So, this is evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Here's the bottom line. You don't always get your way. It's not, you don't always have the right answer. Somebody else might have the right answer. Somebody else might have a great idea. You have to yield. There are times in your life when you have to yield to other people. It's what it means to be filled with the Spirit out of reverence for Christ. Think about the opposite of all of these things that the Apostle Paul says here. Speaking, what comes out of your mouth? Singing? Here's something to help you. What kind of music do you listen to help you? I remember, I'll give you one little glimpse. This was a couple of years ago, and Tony was leading, and maybe it was even last year, but we were singing a song a little bit regularly, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. I think that's what it was. And it just, for whatever reason, one morning, it just like hit me in a very unique way. Later that day, and I don't normally do that. I don't ever do this, really. I remember we went surfing, and I'm literally like surfing on a wave, and I started singing that song. And I'm like, it was a weird, like, this is just not my personality. I'm a little bit more stoic and unemotional than that. But there are moments, and here's my point. Fill your heart with worship. Fill your heart with beautiful worship from God's word, and it will change your heart. It will change a crusty, cold heart to a warm heart. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, that's about creating unity in your family, unity in our community, learning to get along. The point of this short series is this, is that what you do every day matters more than what you do once in a while. And having your life filled with the Holy Spirit every day is far more important than having your life filled once in a while. Your life will be chunky and hard and take detours and go sideways if you're a once in a while person. The life that is available to us all comes from filling our hearts, our lives with the Holy Spirit, of yielding our lives so that we have strength of character, that we have a vision for the future that comes from the Holy Spirit. My hope and my prayer is that as we conclude in worship this morning, and I'm going to invite Taylor and Shane and John up, is that we would live this out right here, that we would sing joyfully from our hearts because of what Christ has done. The Holy Spirit always points us back to Christ, to follow Him faithfully. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for the clarity of Your Word. Father, I pray that if there is anyone here this morning that does not yet know You, that Your Holy Spirit would open their eyes to the grace that is available to everyone. Father, I pray that You would touch our hearts, You would speak to us and speak truth into our lives through the power of Your Spirit. Father, we know that without the work of the Spirit in our lives, we are nothing. That Your Word, the Bible, is nothing without the work of the Spirit. And so we pray a prayer of boldness, that you would do a powerful work in our lives, that the Spirit would fill our lives in a way that we know that it only comes from you. We ask this in your name. Amen.